Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. You know, there's so many things I want to say. This week I was listening to some preacher, something, and he had all his members praying at 7:14 a.m. and p.m. every day. I don't know if it was a long prayer or if it was a short prayer, but that's what they're told. He was supposed to pray every day. They pray at 7:14. Everybody would set their alarm, and at the same time they would pray. And he did that because of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I would hear from heaven, forgive their sins, heal their land. I thought that was pretty good, getting everybody praying at the same time. I know sometimes prayers don't have to be long. It could just say, Jesus, deliver us. It could say, Jesus, heal us. It could say, push back this disease. It doesn't have to be long. Prayers could be very short. In fact, some of our most desperate prayers and answered prayer is sometimes the shortest prayer. Amen. Amen. So I pray that I'm going to try to remember and join them at 7:14 and just mention the name of Jesus and ask him to touch us. I pray that God will keep this thing from us and that we would live in his fulfilled plan. Now, as I drive around Warner Robins, there is a new fad. That's how you say it? Yeah, there's a new one going around. Almost, not everybody, for a good percentage, I see crosses in their yards. I see little cross, small cross, large crosses. And I even thought about putting a cross in my yard. I still would like to do that. But none of them really represent the cross that Jesus bared. They may be a symbol for us because I look at the cross and they're pretty, smooth. I went to Camille's graduation yesterday and they had a beautiful cross in the fellowship hall. I really love the cross. It was beautiful. I don't know if it was made out of teak and it was, routed around and it looks real nice. And what came to mind this morning is this. When the Bible says, if any man should come after me, let him deny himself, pick up the cross, and follow me, I want a nice cross. I want a cross that you took to the craftsman, and he made sure he put it through the planer and plane it nice. And then he sent it down the line, and somebody took time to give it a nice routed finish. And then the other person makes sure they sand it real nice. Put some lacquer, a finish on it. So when I have to put that cross on, there is no splinter. It is not embarrassing. In fact, when I put it up, and even if I take it and I put it outside my door, people pass by and say, ooh, that's a beautiful cross. I believe many of us as believers, we would like to carry a beautiful cross. We don't want the pain or the suffering that goes with it. Well, we are still in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 32. Matthew 27, 32. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and they compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. we'll stop there. That's as far as I went with, because I thought I had enough, so we'll see. Jesus suffered. I went to the doctor yesterday, and I told the doctor, look, I feel like I have a cold ever since I was sick a few months ago. I feel like I always have a cold. So this time I saw a new doctor in the office. It was nice because me and Jill had the same appointment. No, we had half an hour difference. And then they said we could go in together and see the doctor together. So we never done that before. So we went in together. It was really nice to be in the doctor's office together. And Jill was a little better off than me when they do some checkups. But she looked inside my ears. And she said, oh, I see some fluid. And then she looks in my throat and she said, yep. You don't really have a cold. You're suffering from allergies. and then I thought, I need to tell about my toe. So I told my toe, she looked at the toe. She says, yeah, we can't do anything for that. Why? It's worse if you cut it off now. But they couldn't do anything for it because a broken toe, you really can't do anything for it. In fact, you have to suffer through it. They really can't do anything for... You see, when I dropped that 2x6 on my foot, I never thought I would have to suffer. But I had to suffer. There was nothing else they can do. If you're going to pick up the cross and follow Christ, there's nothing else you can do but suffer. I don't care which doctor, which physician you go to. If you decide to follow Jesus, and he said, if any man should come after me, let him deny himself, pick up the cross, and follow me. Jesus had to suffer. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12 says, so Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside. Let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. Now, Jesus suffered. And here's what I got from this. There's pain to carry your cross. Jesus was in pain. Now, I messed up my note somehow. Jesus first had to carry his cross, but here's the thing. The night before, he had no sleep. Did you all know that? Jesus had no sleep. In fact, he took his good friends with him to the garden to pray, as he normally did. And while he went off a little distance, he come back and he found them sleeping. He did it 3 times. Jesus spent all night in prayer. And then after prayer, he faced trials. The trial of man. Then he was beaten. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 26 in, then he released to them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. So he's up all night. I don't know if you ever been up all night. Few years ago, I wouldn't tell you how long, it will date me, I took the youth group on an all-night thing. And when you take youth all night, you stay up all night. And I remember dropping off all the youth the next morning and going straight to work. That was a tough day at work. Jesus was up all night, and on top of that, he was beaten. And we believe is 40 lashes minus one. After his whipping, he was abused by the soldiers. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him and put on a scarlet rope on him and twisted together crowns of thorns and put it on him, and they mocked him. If any man should come after me, let him deny himself, pick up the cross, and follow me. Do you want to follow Christ? And as they gave him his cross, the scripture says, there's my path. I put it in the wrong place. I just found it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They found a man as they was taking Jesus out to be crucified. For some reason, the Bible don't give us a lot of details. But in my imagination, he stumbled and he fell. And they found a man by the name of Simon, and they took the cross and said, "You carry his cross." The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Sometimes your help comes from an unlikely source. And sometimes the people who helps you, they're doing it unwillingly, but it's God's desire. Mm-hmm. Come on now. Amen. Let me tell you, that man did not leave home and says, "I am going to volunteer to help somebody carry their cross today." He did not leave home with that desire. And the soldiers then say, "Who would like to pray today?" You know, sometimes when your preacher do that, nobody volunteers. The preacher didn't say that. The soldier didn't say, "Who want to volunteer to take this man's cross?" The soldier said, "You carry the cross." Sometimes when God wants to use you, he's not going to ask for your permission. He's going to say, "You carry it," and you will not have a choice, and you will.
Amen.
That man did not have a choice. Sometimes the cross that you carry is not your own. Come on now. Folks, are you getting it? Sometimes the cross that you carry is not your own. That cross that Simon carried wasn't his. That was Jesus' cross to carry, but the flesh was weak. You see, the spirit was willing, the flesh was weak, and God found somebody to carry him on. Boy, I almost sung black there. I better don't get too excited. How do you feel today? Praise God for that. Some of you ain't feeling too good today. The weight of your cross is bearing down on you. Some of you may feel like you want to give up. God can make a way. He did it for Jesus, and he's still doing it today. Boy, I gotta exercise. I'm already out of breath. Praise Jesus. Can't help myself. Are you at the point of breaking? Are you at the point of breaking? Let me tell you, not everything Jesus, God the Father, asks you to do is going to be easy. Jesus experienced the full experience of the cross. The full experience of the cross. You see, I don't want the full experience. I want a cross that's smooth. And I want a cross that's pretty. I want a cross that when people see I'm walking down the road with my cross, they look at that and they say, boy, that's a nice cross. If ever I want to carry a cross, that's the cross I want to carry. That's what I want. And if you say you want differently, you're lying to yourself. But it's not what we want. It's what God wants for us. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offer him wine to drink mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. Now, here's my first thought. This is Jesus you're talking about. This is the King of Kings you're talking about. This is even in the flesh, he knew customs. He knew what it was probably going to taste like. He knew what they were going to give him, but yet he tasted it and didn't drink it. The Bible don't give me an explanation why. But I could only think it's for our benefit. You see, Jesus had the opportunity to kind of minimize the effects of the cross. Jesus had the opportunity to take a little drink to ease up some of the pain. Look, I woke up that morning, 3 o'clock, and I'm walking and I'm saying, Jesus, I'm holding my back. I'm saying, Jesus, deliver me. I have no idea what's going on. Jesus, Jesus. 5 o'clock come, Jesus did nothing. I said, Jesus. I said, Jill, get up, take me to the hospital now. I want to minimize the pain I'm feeling. Some of you, God is taking you through stuff and you're looking for all the different ways to minimize what God is trying to work in you. And sometimes you don't even see it. You still respond in the way you always respond. You still taking a little drink to take the bite off. When God wants is for you to experience the full meaning of your calling. Listen how I know and where I got a little bit of this from. Proverbs says this, 31, 6 and 7. I have to stand up here to catch my composure. All right. Is this corona keeping me home too often? Give strong drink to the one who is perishing and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Do you know you could drink to the excess to kind of get away from what you're going through? What are some of the things you all do to run away from what God's working in your life? Jesus had the opportunity, but I believe he tasted and didn't drink because he wanted us to realize that's not the way. It was a custom. They gave them that all the time. And I bet you, no matter how bad it tastes, those who were in pain took a drink. And how I know that? If they offer me some medicine to heal me, and it tastes real bad, I go drink it anyway. But Jesus experienced the full experience of the cross. He didn't minimize it in any way because our sin cannot be minimized. Jesus did not just die. He died the death of the cross. I want to be able to carry my cross every day. I want to be able to experience the full effect of the calling that God has placed me in. Right then, man was doing something to God, but God was doing something for man. And when they have crucified him, they divided his garments and they cast lots. Crucifixion was widely believed to be the worst form of execution. If you have a study Bible, this is probably also in your study Bible because I'm reading it word for word. Due to the excruciating pain and public shame, hanging suspended by one's arm eventually caused great difficulty in breathing. Some of you out there, if you had the corona and you couldn't breathe, think about that for a while. Which could be alleviated only by pushing up on one's feet to take the weight off the arms. But that motion itself would cause severe pain in the feet and the arms and the legs and the back, causing the exhausted victim to slump down again. The only way was to take a breath, was to experience the most excruciating pain a person can. Just to take a breath. And imagine that was all done for us. Only to be nearly unable to breathe once more. And then repeat the action. Eventually, the victim would succumb to suffocation. If he had not already died as a result of the cumulative effects of the physical trauma inflicted on him. And then if it was time, they would break your legs. In fact, one commentator didn't say break, he said smash. Praise God. The scriptures and prophecies true. They didn't have to do that to Jesus. Folks, all this was done for us. Man was doing something to God, but God was doing something for man. Salvation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world, Romans 5:12, through one man, and death through sin. So death spread to all men because all have sinned. Jesus died because of our sins. Romans 5:17 says, for if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. How can you consider? After I just read to you what it was like to suffer on the cross, what it was like for Jesus to carry his cross all the way. And here Paul is calling it a gift. Romans 5:21. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Christ died for our sins, folks. This morning, if you have not considered the penalty of your sin, look at the cross. The Bible said that was the wrath of God. You see, we were destined for the wrath of God. But Jesus died on the cross, the most excruciating death a person could die, so me and you don't have to. Today, if you're not serving Jesus, if you're not living for God, I invite you to come to his altar and surrender your life. Because there's only one way to escape the wrath of God is to let Jesus take your place. And the only way Jesus can take your place is you have to realize, I have been a sinner. I am separated from God. I need Christ in my life. And repent. And after you repent, remember this. If any man should come after me, let him. You who are serving God, you who said, I am Christian, Christian, I'm talking to you. It's time that you carry the cross of Christ. He said, if any man should come after me, let him pick up his cross when daily and follow me. Some of us are not picking up our cross, and it does not compare to what Christ went through. So we have two challenges out there today. One, if you don't know God, if you have not surrendered your life to God, it's time you do. Because he took all for us. And then Paul said it's a free gift. And it's offered to you today. You need to receive it. Come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have an everlasting life. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. That's what the Bible says. But it says before you do that, you better count the cost. Which one of you would go to build a house and don't first count what it's going to cost you? Because if you start building and don't finish, people will say, oh, look at that. We have a house on Newell Road. Pretty house. We watched them putting it up. Man, pretty. We said, that could be a nice one right on the corner where everybody could see. They put the roof on half, the shingles on halfway. They didn't have the, and they stopped. It's been about a year like that. And now the house is deteriorating. I don't know what happened, but somehow the course wasn't counted. They couldn't finish the race. The Bible says, he that putteth his hand to the plow and turn back is not worthy. Let us pick up the cross and let us follow Christ. What are you going through? What are the callings? Here's the thing. Let's go back to he did not, in fact, they say that he wasn't saved, but by the time he carried the cross, they believe the mention of refers to him in Acts and in Romans. This was a descendant of Simon, carried the cross. Sometimes we don't have a part to play. In fact, not sometimes. We don't have a part to play in the cross we carry. Jesus, God, our Heavenly Father, chooses the cross we have to carry. And sometimes we don't like it. Because here's what we do. I don't have the personality for it. I don't have the education for it. I don't. But as we look in Scripture, it doesn't matter what you have. God is all you need. Moses understood that after the fact. Gideon understood that. You need to understand it. Let us pray. Father, this morning we are thankful that Jesus came just as the Scripture predicted, through a virgin birth, just as the Scripture says, that he died and he rose again from the dead. And the Scripture tells us that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. And the Scripture tells us, repent and be baptized for the remission of our sins. And the Scripture says, for whosoever. And Father, we thank you this morning that we were one of the whosoever. And Father, we ask, O God, that those that are listening, that are not here, and those that are here, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, if they have not given their hearts over to you, God, that they will surrender their hearts and their minds and their soul to you, O God. Father, we pray for all those that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that Holy Spirit this morning will convict their hearts and they will fall on their faces and they will repent of their sins in the name of Jesus. And Father, we who are here this morning and says and listening and says, I am a Christian, but yet we are trying to not to carry the cross. We are trying not to drink of the cup that you have prepared for us. Father, we pray this morning that our eyes, our hearts will be open and that we will welcome whatever you have for us. And Father, we wouldn't try to find some way to ease the pain, but we will desire to experience the full measure of what you have called us to. And Father, we pray, God, in the name of Jesus, we wouldn't look for our answers at all, because you have a way of doing it we don't understand. We don't understand why one of the disciples wasn't pointed out to carry the cross for Jesus. We don't understand that. It would have been a great message, Lord, if it was Peter. But God, you chose a bystander. So, Lord, let us not forget that sometimes your help comes from the most unlikely source. And let us not forget, God, that even though you give us help, does not mean we would not suffer. We will not complete the full measure of what you have called us to. Father, this morning we know that you are more than enough. Help us, O God, to walk in you. And Father, give us your peace as we every day try to fulfill the call that is on our life. Let no one this morning, O God, walk out of this place and not desire, and cry out and fulfill the call that is on their life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Amen. We are right on time. Look at that. About 2 minutes. Praise the Lord. Now, we are having Bible study tonight. You could tune into Zoom, or you can come. We're having it tonight. I believe it's Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35. So if you want to come and show Shane all you know, go home and study up 35 and then come and show him all you know. So, but if you want to be familiar with what we're going to be, what he's going to be discussing tonight, I encourage you after you go home and take your nap, when you get up, read 35, then put on some clothes and come on out and enjoy Bible study. We have Wednesday night. Don't forget, we're still Zooming the Wednesday night. So you can come here or you can Zoom. I love seeing people. I love the fellowship. So I love to see you. If nothing is keeping you at home, come and let us fellowship together. And Sunday would be the first Sunday in next month. So we're going to have communion next week. So if you're home, I'm so accustomed to pointing